a great theme for 2021, Unstoppable. First Sunday of January, and I'm here with my wife. I want to welcome all of those that are joining us online around the world and our various campuses that are joining us at 9 o'clock. It's good to have everybody here. So what's the Lord saying to you, honey, for 2021?
Good morning, church. I just wanted to share kind of what happened to me this morning. We came early. We came for early morning prayer. And during the powerful, powerful time of prayer, and during that time, it was like something happened inside of me. There was like, it was like when my dad used to, he used to work on cars, and he would say, Rhonda, it's time I just blow the cobs out of this thing. So we'd go on a back road in South Dakota somewhere, and I think it was really an excuse, so he'd just let it go. And he would just drive this thing and kind of blowing the cobs out. And I felt that way in worship this morning, too. I just, like, God was saying, okay, enough. It's been enough garbage this last year. There's enough garbage gunked up in your life. I'm going to blow the cobs out. And I feel like that's a word for us, that God, in this month of prayer, he's unstoppable. He's going to blow the cobs out of something in your life.
Amen. Thanks, honey. The month of prayer at New Life is an annual part of our calendar. It's the most significant thing I think we do all year. It's the engine that drives the vision of the house. It keeps us unified. We see miracles in the month of prayer unlike any other month. And there's a lot of prodigals that come home, and there's people that are saved. It's a tremendous month. I do want to add one thing to the month of prayer. Okay, and you saw it on the announcements, but that when COVID hit last March, we stopped all the corporate prayer meetings and everything went virtual. I think that was appropriate. I'm glad that we did it. And then we began to reinstitute in-person prayer meetings, observing social distancing and masking. And we started the early morning prayer meetings in some of our campuses. We're starting back. For the month of prayer, for those 21 days, I hope you notice that all the early morning prayer meetings have now all been moved to the evening. And there is an evening prayer meeting on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Saturday, there's a morning prayer meeting that involves children. And then we have Sunday morning pre-service prayer. I'm going to challenge every one of you today, and those that are online, I'm going to challenge you to jumpstart your prayer life and blow the cobs out of stale routine prayer lives. And one way to do it, now that you are going to join us in a Daniel fast, that is, you're going to deny yourself some certain kinds of food for 21 days. Let's deny the old routine of time, the old habits we had, what we do every evening. And I'm going to ask you to come to corporate prayer. Again, they'll be COVID safe. But we're going to take the biggest facilities we have and have prayer meetings that go from Ghent, Deep Creek, Kempsville, and Town Center. And there's going to be one every night of the week and, of course, on Sunday and on Saturday as well. Some of you you prefer to have personal devotions, and the corporate prayer part is a little difficult for you because you might think you have to come to a microphone and pray in front of everybody or something like that. Well, our corporate prayer meetings will look like this. There'll be some singing. There'll be a very brief exhortation, and then there'll be a microphone for prayer where people voluntarily come to pray, and the short prayers, and those that are gathered there agree with those prayers. So you could come to a corporate prayer meeting, sit in the back, sit on the side, engage there with your mask and nobody's around you, and agree with the prayers that are made, and you can see the miracles that are being prayed for come about in your life and in your family, your church, and in your nation. If you've never been to a corporate prayer meeting, start it. Start coming in COVID. Go ahead and just come to a safe environment to seek the face of God. Now, this is what we're doing. I put out a challenge. I thought, what would be a good challenge? How many prayer meetings do you think people could go to? The average person, about 35% of our church has returned in person. About two-thirds have not yet returned but watch us online. And so I thought, okay, if each prayer meeting is 45 minutes to an hour long, let's call it an hour, And every prayer meeting, though, if we have 21 prayer meetings, it's a total of 21 hours of prayer. So I said, let's do a challenge. So we put on our website, you guys can put that up. We put a challenge on there of how many prayer meetings you think you're going to go to. And each of them can be an hour long. And we're going to say, if you can do three for 3 weeks, that's going to be 3 hours or 6 hours if you do 2 a week. And if you do every single prayer meeting, that's 21 hours plus the prayer summit, which is probably 3 to 4 hours long. So 25 hours is the possible total number of prayer. So we put this up on Saturday. And I don't know if you could see it. That's not the latest. The latest is like we have over 500. Would you check that, Professor? Huh? 614 hours of prayer have already been committed. 614. Our goal's only 1,000. I think I'm thinking too small. I got to get bigger. How about like 1,100? Well, we're just going to, I'm not pressuring you. That's not the new life way. I am trying to spark something like, let's go where we've never gone before. Let's get our prayer meetings on fire for God and see what He'll do, saving souls, restoring families, healing bodies in 2021. The very first prayer meeting is a week from Monday, right? Or do we start on Sunday? Monday night, a week from tomorrow night, right? And it's in Town Center. Join us. It's going to be dynamic. Okay. And by the way, go to the website and put in your number of hours. Let's see where that gets at the end of the day. It could be really pretty outstanding. Today's message is entitled, Our Unstoppable God. Our Unstoppable God. And I want to take the next 25 minutes or so, and hopefully by the power of God's word, start something to burn inside you that you are serving a God today whose plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. Our God is unstoppable. Think about Job for a minute. Job lost his family. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his reputation. And then finally, Job lost his health. And he begins to accuse God. And God basically says to Job, I have plans that you don't know about. And he didn't know that God was going to restore everything that had been taken from him 2 times over. And it's a picture for us in the dealings of God. It says in Job 42:2, after suffering all of that, Job says, I know that you can do everything and your plans are unstoppable. How many today are grateful that God's plans are unstoppable? God is always moving. Friends, His kingdom is always increasing. Nothing in heaven and nothing in earth can ultimately stop the forward movement of God's plans. No one can thwart what God intends. No man, no government, no philosophy, no power, no leader. It may seem delayed, but God's plans will always come to pass. God is unstoppable. We live in a society today where people, for the most part, have lost their understanding of God's sovereignty, God's magnificence, God's grandeur, God's glory. And we've minimized God. We've tried to manage God. We've tried to reduce God. And you see this in the lives of believers that when something goes wrong, a prayer unanswered, a desire unmet, an unforeseen difficulty, they will often turn on God and pout. And how do Christians pout? They stop fellowshipping. They stop worshiping. They stop praying. They stop giving. They stop sharing Christ. As if somehow in our little temper tantrum with God, that somehow we're saying to God, I'm punishing you since I can't control you. And we should simply say to God, God, you're bigger than I am. Your ways are deeper and higher than my ways. And I choose today just to acknowledge you as God. Let's don't have a God deficit. Let's don't be Christians with a small God. Let's be Christians with a gigantic God that cannot be contained. John Piper, I don't agree with everything John Piper believes, but he is a very good man. He wrote, people are starving for the greatness and grandeur of God. It causes people's lives to be empty, causes mental health problems. It causes life to feel unsatisfying. Most do not discern that they were made in their hearts to thrill at the panorama of God's glory, God's power and glory. In other words, you and I are not fully human. We're not fully coming into what we're made to be until we have an understanding of the greatness, the magnificence, the glory, and the grandeur, and the power of the one who created us. Would you agree with me today that God is unstoppable? If the unstoppable God is invited into your heart, your life becomes unstoppable. And when the unstoppable God comes into your life, your prayer life becomes unstoppable and the kingdom of God advances. I'm going to give you three quick points today on this unstoppable God. This first point is so self-evident, I'm almost embarrassed to make it. Here it is. God is God. If I could use some voice inflection, God is God. God is God. Let's treat him like God. It says in Isaiah 46, it says, remember this and stand firm. Isaiah is sharing this to God's people who are going into exile. Judah is being deported to Babylon. They are going to be there for years. It is not a good day. The temple will be destroyed. It is not a good day. Families will be separated. It is not a good day. Homes and businesses will be forfeited to the Babylonians. It is not a good day. And the prophet says to them, remember something, and you stand firm in your disappointment. The Lord speaking says, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Say amen to that. It goes on to say, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things not yet done. In other words, he's saying, do not be dismayed. I know the plans I have for you. They are good to give you a hope and a future. Don't you look at the temporary when I have the eternal to offer you. Stand firm. I'm God. The foreknowledge of God knows your tomorrow, knows your next week, and knows your future. It knows the future of a nation. It knows the future of a family. It knows the future of a child. It knows the future of the climate. It knows the future of every asteroid and comet in the universe. And the God says, you can take comfort in that. You stand still. He says, my counsel shall stand and my will shall be accomplished. All my purposes. Oh, God's sovereignty. This makes worship worship when you get a big God. Our songs should not be too often just about me, my peace, my joy, my victory. Most of our worship songs should be about the grandeur, the glory, the bigness, the power, and the sovereignty of the one who created us and his son, the Lord Jesus. It says in Psalms 33, it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. The Greeks thought they would have a kingdom forever. They didn't. The Persians, the Babylonians thought they'd have a kingdom forever. They didn't. Along comes the Romans. They have a kingdom for 1,000 years. Pax Romana, they thought they were going to be forever. They weren't. Then along comes the kingdoms of the East, and you had the Byzantine Empire, then you had the Arabs, and then you had the Muslims, and then you had Genghis Khan, and then you had, moving forward into time, then you had Britain, and then you had France, and you had the European countries, and then and every one of them, God says, you're not God. You're serving my purposes. I raise you up and I dispose you at my will. He brings the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of peoples. God will not be challenged. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. God is God. The plans of his heart. The counsel of the nations stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations. Number two, God is unstoppable in moving all history towards his eternal purpose. Now, this is a very important concept today. Because you're thinking, God is unstoppable? What about that tragedy and that thing in history? And what about this failure? And what about the Holocaust? And what about all the years of the Dark Ages in Europe? And what about parts of Africa and Asia never hearing about the gospel even to today? What do you mean his purposes are unstoppable? I want you to view history a little differently with me this morning. History is like a gigantic funnel that's coming down to a very singular point. And in that funnel, everything looks disjointed and disconnected and unrelated. And yet God is taking all of history and he's pushing it together, if you will. Think of it, that he's managing it. He's causing the guardrails to tighten because he is pushing all of history to a predetermined conclusion that he knows. I'll tell you about that. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 says it this way. He's made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he was planning in Christ for the administration of the fullness of times. In other words, how the whole thing ends. To consummate all things in heaven and earth in one head, Christ. This is the end game. What's the end game? God's Son came to the earth. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He died for our sins. He lay dead for 3 days in a tomb. He rose again from the dead. And now he is given the name above every name, which is called Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, he will establish a kingdom on the earth and in the heaven. That at the judgment seat of Christ, all things will be made new again. And all of creation, all angels, all princes and powers, all people, saved and unsaved, all things, seen and unseen, are going to acknowledge that Jesus won. They're going to acknowledge that he is supreme. They're going to acknowledge that his act of love has no comparison. All of creation is a stand in awe of what Jesus has done at the will of the Father. That's what it says here. Everything in heaven and earth are going to come together in Christ. Everything in Christ. So at the end, this is what God is saying. In the end, you know what? Everybody's going to know him. Everybody's going to worship him. Everybody is going to honor him. Everybody is going to obey him. Everybody's going to marvel at the Son of God. This is where this whole thing is going. There is a train that has left the station. That train is unstoppable. And it's the train of God's purposes. He is saying, my Son is going to be glorified. My Son is going to be stood in awe for what he has done for me and for humanity. And the Lord says to us today, do you want to get on the train? Do you want to get on the train of that eternal purpose? Nobody's going to stop the train. You can't derail the train. The train is unstoppable and it has left the station. Do you have a ticket today? It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, same concept, verse 11. What I just described to you, this was in accordance to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord. The eternal purpose, so let me say it again, there's a big funnel happening. God's unstoppable. God, whether you're born in 1000 BC or you're born tomorrow, his purpose is unstoppable. All of human history is coming down to a point. We don't know the time or the day, only the Father knows, not even the Son knows. There is going to be a day when Jesus returns. It's not figurative, it's not metaphor, it's literal. He's going to return. Those that know him that are alive will be caught up in the air with him. Those that are dead, that have been waiting in paradise, will be given a glorified body and they will join the others in the air, and they will forever be with the Lord. And the Lord will take us, and he will say, I have prepared a place for you. How does he know it? Because he foreknows. He has foreknowledge. His ways are unstoppable. And he's saying, it's not entered your mind, nor have you ever even thought about what I have prepared for you. There is something coming at the end of time. He says, you're going to rule and reign with me in a glorified body. And the church, which is the bride of Christ, has made herself ready. And she will wed the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. And there shall be a union that is a mystery for the ages. The Bible says we cannot even think about this. Paul comes up to the third level of heaven. He said, what I saw, I mean, guys, I can't even tell you. It was so marvelous. I can't even tell you what about. And that's nothing compared to what's coming at the end of time. So listen to me. You're living 1% of your life before death. 99% of your life is after you die. The plans and purposes for God don't stop at your death. They continue on into eternity. There are kings and queens, princes and rulers sitting in this room, and you have no idea. His plans and purposes for you that have not even entered your little head. And it's not houses and better jobs and bigger cars and Rolex watches. It's ruling and reigning and knowing God and being in the presence of God, worshiping, seeing no longer through a shadow or a glass, but seeing as he is. Number three. God's unstoppable purpose for your life is to make you Christian. Now, I don't have the word A in there. To make you a Christian. To make you Christian. I'm going to describe it to you, then I'll give you the text. When you get saved and you say, Jesus, become the Lord of my life, God took you seriously. Which means you gave over the reins of your life to God. And from that point on, God has a purpose for your life. Now, there are all kinds of purposes, some more important than others. One of his purposes may to be a father, may to be a mother, maybe a pastor, maybe a school teacher, something like that. Sure, those are purposes. I know one of the purposes God has for me is to be a pastor. I have no doubt about the reason why I'm on this planet is to do what I'm doing. I don't have the slightest doubt in my mind. That's not the number one purpose in my life, though. I've been called to be a father and a husband. That's not the number one purpose for my life. The Bible says the number one purpose that God has for my life is he's going to take Dan, all of his shortcomings, all of his frailties and failures, and he's going to make me into something beautiful. He's going to maximize the potential for which I was created. He's going to make me into the best me that I can possibly be. That's Christ's likeness. He's going to make me Christian. So this is what it is. You give your life to Christ, and you have an anger problem. Well, that anger problem is going to have to go. And there's an unstoppable God now who's going to work on that. And he's going to work on that and work on that and work on that and work on that and work on that. Because he's now got an unstoppable purpose. And that is to make you like Christ. To conform you to the image of his son. To make you the best you he created you to be. That gives God glory, you see. He's got a purpose. His purpose is to make you Christian. To make you a saint. To sanctify you. To redeem your mind and heart, emotions, desires, and words. It says in Romans chapter 8. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Pause with me. How many of you heard that verse before? That's a big one, right? It's often interpreted this way. You know, a lot of bad things can happen in your life. But you know, God could turn it around where you can really get the new job promotion. He can deliver you from that disease. He can bring a new friend into your life. That there are good things that can happen to you. Even though it looks like bad things are getting the upper hand. Because he can turn all things to good. But that is not the primary meaning of that verse. Verse 29 clarifies it. So let's look at verse 28 again. It says, we know that if we love God and we're in his purpose, we're in his purpose, we're on the train, we're on the unstoppable train, we punched our ticket, we're on the train, that everything is going to work together for something that's good. And this is what's good. He says, for, that bridges the concepts. For those whom he foreknew, he has predestined. He has made sure our destination, he foreknows our destination to be conformed to the image of his son. So this is how this verse works. No matter how, what the bad, the worst thing could happen to your life, and you can see no good value of it, know this, that God is using it in your heart to make you more like Christ. He's going to give you a real peace and a real joy and a real patience and a real kindness and a real mercy. It's a whole lot more than just getting a better job. You're getting a better you. And that's an unstoppable purpose. God is takes serious your sanctification. Everything that happens in your life, everything God wants to use to make a better you. So let's say you get a promotion. He wants to use that for you to give God glory. There's a difficult day. He wants you to use that to give God praise, even in spite of your setback. He goes on to say in the Word of God that God can use everything in our life, even when we don't see it. And somebody might say, what happens if you're really young? What happens if you're 3 years old? Well, let's say it this way. What happens if you have a son or a daughter that dies at three? The heartache of which I could never imagine. And you might say, well, Pastor Dan, you're 60. God's had a long time to work on you. And there's a whole lot left to be worked on in you. That's obvious. So I can see God's purpose, you know, ongoing purpose, his eternal purpose is to make me into something that looks like Christ. All right. But you might say, what about the 3-year-old or the 2-year-old or the 1-year-old or the baby who's stillborn or the baby who's lost in a miscarriage? Seems to me God's purpose gets stopped. Like, how can they become the best who they are? They're just little. They ain't talked or walked or thought or spoke. Well, the Bible says this. It says here in Psalms 138, the Lord will perfect. In Greek, when the Septuagint, this word perfect is the word teleos, which means, teleos is a very important word, which means it takes something to its fullness. It brings something to completeness. It's like finishing a puzzle, growing a tree to its full height. It brings something to its end. And you can think of those two, its creative potential. God will bring to the creative potential that which concerns me. That which concerns me. In other words, God's plan for my life is unstoppable. Said this way, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. It's a different translation. He will fulfill it. So back to the illustration. What about the little baby? Well, this is how God does it. Now there's a lot of mystery here, but this is how God does it. That baby dies, and the baby is now in heaven. God's purpose for that baby is still unstoppable. So God takes on the other side of death, and in only the way that God can do it. That baby grows and develops and comes into the fullness of its created purpose, not before death, but after death. Some of you today have dreams and visions that God has put in your heart that will not get fulfilled in its fullness in this life. This verse says, his purpose for me is still unstoppable. After I die, God is still going to take those dreams and those visions, and somehow in God's great sovereignty and power, he's going to bring it to completion on the other side. Every parent should have hope today if you've lost a child. It's not a life that just got snuffed out and say, oh man, I wish they could have grown up and got married and had children, and I wish that, you know, we'll never know. Take comfort in this. That child is known by a sovereign God who has unstoppable purposes. And God would take that child in his hand, pass through death and on the other side, saying, no one's going to understand that, but I'm going to develop this life on the other side. And every dream and every vision, every purpose I have for that life will come to pass. God doesn't waste a single life. So this gives me hope today. Therefore, today, I can smile knowing that God is the Lord of the future. Whatever 2021 holds, here's the deal. Our God is unstoppable. His love is unstoppable. His purposes are unstoppable. His grace is unstoppable. I don't care what man can do to me. The Bible says, no one can separate me from the love of Christ. Can angels, can things present or past, principalities and powers, nothing can separate me. His purposes for me are unstoppable. Stephen is a young man. He's a young deacon in the church. And he's the first martyr after Christ. And he's probably 25 years old, maybe 30. We don't know if he has a family. Probably not. And he gets taken and he's going to be stoned. And he could be thinking, oh man, I never had a chance to go to college. I never had a chance to get married. I never had a chance to have all those kids. Man, I wanted to start a business so bad. I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted. He had no complaint because he knew God's purposes in his life were unstoppable. And he lifts up his eyes and he says he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, welcoming him upon his death. He knew his life wasn't over. His life was just beginning because God's purposes are unstoppable. And then he says, Lord, forgive these people. Forgive. They don't know. They really don't know what they're doing. Therefore, okay, number two here, we can hope in a sovereign God during times of real trouble. When I got married, Rhonda was 19. When we got married, she was 19. I had just turned 22 by a month. So we were young. In our 20s, were idyllic. We had three children kind of quickly, boom, boom, boom. But we were in revival, really. Our 30s, pretty normal, good. Started a career as a school teacher for 8 years. And started a church, I was pastoring in a church from age 23. And life was just happening. Hit my 40s. And in my 40s, I was diagnosed with an incurable cancer. Rhonda and I became estranged from our daughter for 2 years. And there was many, many nights I had no idea where she was. And it broke our hearts. It was a pain beyond pain. And this idyllic marriage, all of a sudden, for the first time, we were quarreling like two cats in a cage. And like everything, like what happened? I was like Job, man. I was like, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm not being a bad guy. Why is all this stuff happening to me? Where's the Deuteronomy 28 blessings? I mean, this and this little, this season, these times of trouble didn't last a year. It lasted 15 years. And it's only in the last couple of years we've come out. My emotions were a complete wreck. I was on drugs, you know, for my cancer. I got an antidepressant, which I didn't use very much. It was a wild, wild west, man. I remember one time I had the car sitting out in front of Ruby Tuesday, sitting there in the car, and I came this close to just quitting the ministry, calling Ron and saying, I'm out of here. But God had an unstoppable purpose for my life. In those low days, and you may have a low day like mine, you may have a low decade. Now, what I am not saying is that God wasn't good to me, and there was fruit, and there was a good church, and we had moments of real happiness and joy. But I'm talking I was fighting the current for 20 years, man. 15 years probably would be more accurate. And in my lowest days, I could hardly pray. Anybody here been so wore out that you can't even really pray or sing? And this is all I would say to God. I'm not exaggerating or making a story up just for a sermon illustration. It's a pretty transparent moment for me. This is all I could say to God. And I would generally cry, like I feel like I'm going to cry now. And I would say to God this: God, your God, I'm not. And what I was saying was, God, I need you to act like God. I can't deliver myself. I can't heal myself. I can't bring my daughter home. I can't make my wife respect me. I can't cause emotions to come in my heart for others. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen, because I'm not God. I'm a sinner. I fail. I'm frail. I don't pray enough. And my faith is weak. And all that's packed into this little sentence. God, you're God. And if you don't show up and be God, I'm done. Because I'm just a man. I'm made out of dust. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I found such relief, Pastor Jeremy, in that prayer. It was such a powerful prayer for me. And that's, it was essentially doing this. I was believing in a sovereign God. Number three here, as we bring this to a close this morning, I marvel today at my own salvation. That God's unstoppable purpose for Dan Backens, when I was living like the devil, at age 18, the hounds of heaven caught up to me. The spirit of election won me over. I was drawn into the Father's embrace. He pursued me, pursued me, pursued me, till one day my eyes were open to the love of God. I marvel at my salvation, that Jesus fully paid for my sin. Which one of us in this room has done enough good to earn your salvation? I don't care how good you are, nobody has. The Bible says, my righteousness at its best day is filthy rags. I fall short every day. I need an unstoppable God who gives unstoppable grace to a sinner like me. I need the unstoppable power of God saying, Dan, I will never, ever, ever give up on you. If you are faithless to me, I remain faithful to you. I will accomplish what I promised I would do. Now you can take a detour, son. You can take a detour. But I'm still going to do what I am going to do. Friends, today, there's an unstoppable God, and the train of his purpose is unstoppable. He has left the station. And God is going to have a people, and God is going to have a bride, and God is going to consummate everything at the end of time to glorify his son and what he has done. Are you on the train today? Or you're standing at the depot saying, well, you know, I don't know if about this God thing. The tickets are free. But if you get on the train, God says, you're mine now. And I've got full permission to do what I want to do with your life. And when you don't understand it, you're going to have to trust me. Now and in the life to come, I'm making something beautiful out of your life. Once the train leaves the depot, you can't flag it down. The devil can't derail it. And nobody can throw you off the train. It's unstoppable. Denzel Washington can't even stop the train. It's the train of God's unstoppable purposes. Now, a message like this is not for the casual believer, and it's not for this person today who just wants a nice platitude to make you new, you're happy. I'm giving you what the Bible calls the mystery of the ages. This is God's eternal purpose. You might say it a different way than I said today, but this is what life is all about. God is God. God has made a way for you and me. He gives you the ticket today if you want it. Will you get on the train? Father, I thank you today that you're an unstoppable God. And Lord, I would be afraid of you if I didn't know that you were a God of love and that you're kind and always good. Lord, thank you for being unstoppable. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you. There's no person hearing this prayer, regardless of your age or what you have done, that God will have his purposes thwarted. With our eyes closed just for a moment, would you say with me this simple prayer? God, you're God. Would you whisper that to the Lord? God, you're God. Say this with me as well. And I'm not. And I'm not. Lord, we need a Savior today. We need the grace of salvation today. None of us can earn it. None of us are good enough. Those that are listening today, far away from this service, God is for you, not against you. His love never fails you. Get on the train today. I want to dismiss those watching by Facebook, those watching at our campuses. God bless you. Pastor Jeremy,
I hope you enjoyed today's service because I know that God wanted to speak to you. And maybe in this year, 2021, you'll want to recommit to the body of Christ. Recommit to being part of the local church. Recommit to being part of the family of God through church online. I want to say welcome to the family. If you are in the 757, I invite you to come to one of our brick and mortar buildings. If you are from anywhere else, we invite you to stay engaged with our online community. Maybe it's through our Facebook group. We are always posting on our New Life Facebook page and our Instagram page, so you can stay connected and stay aware of what is going on and get to be part of our community. We want you to connect online through our app or through our website. Send us your prayer requests. We want to pray for you. We want to be involved in your life and have you be involved in the life of things that are going on at New Life. And like I said, we are about to embark into an amazing month of prayer as we focus on our unstoppable God. Many of you, if you're a member of the church, may have received a booklet in the mail. In that booklet, you'll find a schedule and other resources to help you pray. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you to just go on the app or go online. There's a schedule there as well, so you can follow along because everything we offer in the brick and mortar buildings, we're going to also offer for you online. Why? Because we know that prayer changes things, and we want to invite you in to our prayer experience and maybe do a fresh kickstart for your own prayer life in this new season. Get ready, because God wants to do something fantastic. Can I pray for you today? God, I just thank you that you truly are unstoppable. And Lord, while the enemy may want to try strategies to stop you from doing what you've promised in our lives, stop you from making changes in our lives, stop you from showing yourself, God, you are God. And there's nothing that can stop you. You are unstoppable. I thank you that there's nothing impossible with you. And so, Lord, today we just say yes. We say yes to every promise that you've made. We say yes to every good thing that you want to do in our lives. We say yes to the healing you want to do. Say yes to the breaking of addictions that you want to do. Yes to the bringing families together that you want to do. Because there's nothing impossible with you, because you are unstoppable. Father, this year and in this Sunday, I pray that you would pull on the hearts of everyone who's listening to say, come closer. Come closer to me in prayer in this season. I pray that there would be a resounding yes on every heart that would say, I want to do it different in 2021. I want my prayer life to take it to the next level. I want to be desperate for the things of God, and I'm willing to do what it takes to meet him as he invites me in. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you are with your people, that you long to speak to them in this season, and they have the capacity to hear your voice. As we go our own way, I thank you that we go forth in joy and in love. We go forth in peace. We go forth in power and authority. And we go forth in these things because it is the name of Jesus that goes ahead of us. We love you and we bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you next Sunday.